Hebrews, how about that? Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 7. By the way, talking about encouraged, I was encouraged the other day. Carla, she was nosing around in my computer. And she went on the website and she was telling me that, which has been there for quite a few years, but on some of the messages there, around 2,000 people that's heard those messages have gone on there and listened to them. So praise the Lord. We may not have many here, but in the long run, we're reaching people, and that's what counts more than anything else. So that was encouraging. Amen. Because the church has spent a lot of money on radio ministry throughout the years. And every once in a while, we'll have someone come up to me and say, oh, I hear you on the radio. I listen to you every day and things like that. So we're doing the work as a church. We're doing what we need to be doing. We're reaching everyone that we possibly can. And so we can hopefully guide people to that. People that's not in church, maybe they'll listen to the computer. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we have that testimony? Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's probably 1,000 sermons in the 7 verses if you really wanted to get into it. But Dennis, if you'll lead us in a word of prayer tonight. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we love and thank you for bringing us the book of Hebrews so we can understand your words, your wonders throughout our lives and how things pertain to us. And we want to thank you so much for all the wonderful things you do for us each and every day. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. 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 So beginning in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith requires something other than stuff and evidence. Really, faith has to come from God. I believe with all my heart, in the beginning God created everything. And I know that it would be astounding if we could just see. We can see as far as we can see, but yet there's still multiple things out in space that hasn't even been discovered. But I just believe that God said, let it be, and that's it.
Amen.
You know, evolution requires a lot more faith than biblical faith. I mean, and a little bit of insanity to go along with that. Because you got to be half crazy to believe what those people believe. But the Bible talks about what is faith. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So though the things are only hoped for and not seen at present, the eyes of faith can see them. And the hand of faith can grasp them. Even though you can't see it, you can see it by faith. The proof of things not seen. So we do see by faith. We see by faith what cannot be seen by our eyes. We grasp by faith what cannot be grasped with our hands. We can believe it. I mean, really, do you believe this? Do you believe that there was a God that created all things and he just spoke it into existence? Amen. See, so you have grabbed a hold of that fact. But if God asked you the same questions he asked Job, and Job had several questions for God, but when it got right down to it, God answered him with 77 questions that he couldn't answer one of them. So when you really think the way God did with Job, he said, Job, were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there when I did this and did that? Were you there? No, 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 no. And so it's really amazing when you think about, we believe those things, but we weren't there. I remember a trial I witnessed, and it was some little something, but nevertheless, the attorney asked me, were you there? Were you present? And I said, no, sir. That means a lot. If he wasn't there, then what you are going by is what other people have said, perhaps. But were you there? Well, we wasn't there, but every one of you believe what I've just talked about, that God's created all things. Amen. So your faith reaches a lot further than what you could ever reach. In fact, it's impossible. I wonder how much of what all God has done is, it's just amazing, really. And when people can see how things work and the patterns and the seasons and all that, and come up with the conclusion that there's no design, there's no designer, there's no one that's doing these things, man, they've got to have a different faith than what Bible faith is talking about. So in verse 2, he continues on. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By faith. They obtain a good report. So it was written in the olden times that believers were approved. So this second verse shows that they were approved by their faith. They were approved by their faith in God. And then he begins to talk about individuals in verse 3. And he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. That's good enough for me. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that everything that was made was not made by something. Everything that was made by without anything. There was nothing to make it from. You know, you take and you make something out of something else, that's one thing. But when you don't have something else, I've always said, you know, I won't be concerned until man can make life out of absolutely nothing. They can't do that. They might can clone and do different things and manipulate and so forth, but they can't do what God did. Amen. They can't take nothing. I know some people can take nothing and make something out of it, but we're talking about scripturally. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the facts about creation must be the subject of faith. It is true that they can be substantiated by the argument for design and in other ways still for a wise purpose, as I believe God has not made even that matter of the creation of the universe perfectly clear to human reason. So there's room for the exercise of faith. We don't understand everything of just what that means in the beginning God created. We just don't get that. We can't understand all that. We don't have the ability. Our minds cannot go to that point. But we believe it. We believe it as if we were there watching when it took place. So in order that what is seen did not come into existence from what is visible, things that we see were not made out of things that we see. The things that we see was not made by things that we see. They were brought out of the unseen by the Word of God. Amen. In the beginning, God created. The Word of God is the foundation of everything that has been formed by Him. And by the way, God can do anything, can He not? Amen. With the exception, He can't lie, He can steal, and all that because He's righteous God. Verse 4, He continues on, He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So by faith Abel offered his sacrifices by faith. The first of the long line of martyrs triumphed by faith. Abel was killed because of his faith. Cain killed him. So if you're to be strong to bear witness for God, you must be made strong by the same power that wrought so effectually in Abel. We need to have faith. Faith works differently in each one of these mighty men. When he talks about Abel, when he talks about Noah, I mean, these are mighty men of faith. But it's the same living principle in all of them. They're different men. Their faith is seen in very different circumstances. But in Abel's case, faith brings a right sacrifice. Whenever Abel offered up the sacrifice that he offered up, it proved of the faith that he had in God. In fact, it goes all the way back to Christ when you think about it, because it was a blood sacrifice. So faith brings a right sacrifice, brings it in the right way, speaks even after he's dead, for the blood of Abel cried out of the ground. So literally, that faith was put on his tombstone. He believed God. He just believed God. And when God gave instructions as far as the sacrifice, Abel didn't question it like Cain. He didn't try to say, no, we're going to do our own thing. No, Abel just, he just went with it, so to speak. That's what faith is. You just go with it. Whatever God says, that's it. No discussion. God's right. Man's always wrong. Amen. So he offered to God a greater sacrifice than Cain. Abel taught the need of approaching the Lord with sacrifice. Even in his offerings, he taught people the only way to approach God is sacrificially, and it has to be a blood sacrifice. The need of atonement by blood. See, so Abel taught that. Even from his grave, he taught that. So he laid the lamb upon the altar and sealed his testimony with his own blood. And it says he still speaks although he's dead. So he spoke by faith when he lived. Faith makes him speak now that he's dead. That faith continues on. Faith carries us right on through. So, what wonders faith can work. The first saint who entered heaven entered there is certain by faith. It was faith that enabled him to present an acceptable sacrifice. And it was faith that presented him to heaven. So he was saved by faith. He was saved by believing God. He was saved by just doing what God told him to do. And no questions asked. That's how he went to heaven. And that's how he was saved. Cain, not so. Cain would say, no, I don't think that we're going to do that. I've got my own way of doing things. Now, how did that work out for Cain? It didn't work out very well. In fact, the Bible warns us about Cain and Jude, about not to be like Cain. Verse 5, he even talks about another great man of faith. By faith, Enoch was transported, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That's his testimony. He pleased God. He walked with God. And that was his testimony. So, then came Enoch, whose life went beyond the reception and confession of the atonement. For he set before men the great truth of communion with God. He communed with God. He pleased God. There's one thing I would like to be able to for God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Pleasing to God. So Enoch was pleasing to God. He walked with God. He had faith in God. He believed in God. And because of that, he was taken up. Mark that this holiest of men who walked with God so close and unbroken that he was permitted to escape the pangs of death. Because he walked with God and pleased God, he skipped death. He didn't have to die. He was translated, transported out of this world without death. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's quite an accomplishment. Some of us that's here today living, we may very well be part of that rapture of where death will not get a grasp of us. Will be translated, transported. Nevertheless, did not attain to this high position by his own works. He didn't accomplish this by what he done. He accomplished what he accomplished. He skipped death and went on to heaven by faith in God. That's it. Just believe in God. God said, you do this, and he did everything. He walked with God. He pleased God. And because of that, God said, one day he said, you know what? It seems to me that we're closer to my house than yours. You just come on, go with me. And he transported him right on. So that he did not experience death. So it is faith that muzzles the mouth of death and takes away the power of the sepulcher. By faith. I think it's wonderful when you see crosses on the tombstones, because it has its own message, does it not? This person's dead, but the message is still real. They had faith in that cross. They had faith in that cross. So in reality, they have confidence that God would do what he's promised that he was going to do. So there again, faith is a wonderful thing. It's never been so for this, which was one of the greatest things that was ever done. To leap from this life into another, to overlap the grave altogether, was only achieved by faith. Question, what are you achieving by faith? Now maybe I would ask the question, what are you achieving by worry? Aggravation. You achieve an aggravation. You're not achieving a whole lot, are you? But what are you achieving by faith in the Lord? Well, you're on the way to heaven, are you not? You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you believe that? If you believe that, that is truth. That's going to be truth for you. Now, if there's any man in the world that shall never die, is he who walks with God. And you think about it. We that walk with God will never die. We're going to depart. There's a big difference. Paul says, my time of departure is at hand. I love that. So he didn't say, it's time for me to die. No, because he knew very well that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Paul even preached that, brought that up. So don't go about by any other way to escape the pains of death but by walking with God. You escape death by walking with God, by pleasing God. And you'll be able to say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15:55. And it says, and he was not found. And I wonder if it was like Elijah whenever he was taken up, transported. And Elisha took his position. And there was about 50 people that said, hey, we need to go look for him. He might be scattered over there. He might be scattered all over one of the mountainsides. You know, when he got picked up, he might have had a wreck. And Elisha said, no need to do that. But go ahead and look if you want to look. So they looked. And guess what? They didn't find him. Because they was looking on the earth, and he wasn't on the earth any longer. He was not found. So if a man's not found, it shows that somebody looked after him. There again, when Elijah went to heaven, you remember 50 men of the sons of the prophets went to search for him. They didn't find him. Well, Enoch was not found either. And the way the wording is, evidently there were some people looking for him. Where Enoch went? You know, we know where Enoch, you know, each day he would have different habits of whatever and doing this, doing that. All of a sudden, he's gone. Where'd he go? And the Bible says because of his faith, he just went to be with God. Skipped out on death. Enoch was missed when he was gone, and so will they be who walk with God. There's going to be a time very soon, I believe, the rapture takes place. It could be tonight. Be great. When all of a sudden people's going to say, where is all those people that was at Central Baptist Church? Where's all these people missing? My grandmother's gone. My grandfather's gone. Or perhaps my brother's gone. My wife's gone. My children's gone. Where'd they go? They're going to be looking for them. But because of their faith, they skipped out on death. Just like Enoch, just like Elijah, just went to be with the Lord. So it's going to be great. God took him up. The bottom line, God took him up. A very remarkable expression. Perhaps he did it in some visible manner. Maybe they saw him when he was called up. Maybe some of them said, where's he going? And they keep looking, and they might be like Jesus when they were looking up, watching Jesus leaving. You know, and an angel says, you know, why are you so amazed about this? That's the same one, Jesus, that's going up, he will so likewise come in the same manner. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. Well, they just watched as he lifted up. That has to be amazing, doesn't it? So was it in that situation with Enoch? We don't know. Perhaps he did it some visible manner. Perhaps the whole of the patriarch saw him depart, even as the apostles were present when the Lord was taken up. However that may be, there was some special rapture. Something special took place when that Enoch walked with God and was not. some distinct taking up of this choice, one of the thrones of the Most High. He went to be with the Lord. He had been approved as having been pleasing to God. There again, that's faith. When you live by faith, that means you're pleasing to God. When you live by faith, that means you're obedient to God. When you live by faith, it's no longer you, but it's God and what God's viewpoint is. And are you accomplishing anything by faith in God? The way to please God then is to believe in Him. The Lord says it's impossible without faith to please God. So, sometimes we have to scratch our head and we say, well, I don't understand. Just this afternoon, I was talking to the Lord about our little guy that's in trouble, that's in the hospital. And I said, God, I just believe Romans 8:28. Because otherwise it don't make sense. Here's mom and dad just got married, and they have this 3-year-old child that they're very proud of, and then this terrible accident. The first thing some people might ask is, why, God, would you allow this to happen? Well, Romans 8:28 tells us, you know, that there's nothing that happens except the fact that there's going to be good coming out of that. I don't know what the good's going to be. I'm not God, and I don't have to know. But I just believe. I believe that God's word is true, and there's going to be something good coming out of it. Family may see it. Family may not see it. But there's going to be some good that comes out of that. Because nothing happens without it turning out to be for the good. Romans 8:28, I live by that. And how many times have I struggled with things? And I said, Lord, this don't make any sense. Don't think I haven't challenged Him. But I always humbly say, but God, You are God and I'm not. You know what's right, what's best. I don't. Help me to just accept what You do. Faith in God. That's faith in God. You see, living by faith does not mean that you have all the answers. It means that you trust God with the outcome. Whatever the outcome is, that you trust God. So, the way to please God in is to believe Him. And if there's any possibility of entering heaven without seeing death, faith alone can point that way. Oh, that we may be said of us that we please the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if we could all be told we believe we please the Lord? Then we shall one way or another conquer death. We're going to conquer death. We've already conquered death. Well, we haven't, but our Lord has, and He's conquered on our behalf. So we shall triumph over the grave, and if Christ shall come before we die, we shall triumph in the coming of Christ. Either way, we are so much winners. Look in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As I study through the book of James, doing the Bible studies and all, and I hope you're reading those, because you'll learn a lot from the Bible if you read those things. But James says, you know, even the devil trembles because he believes in God. The devils believe in God and tremble. But they're not saved. So we need to just believe in God. Okay. So not without faith is it impossible to please Him. See here how faith has learned the secret art of pleasing God. to live for 300 years in constant communion with God as he did, to be ever pleasing to God, was a mighty triumph for faith. If we please God, we shall have realized the object of our being. It's written concerning all things that for his pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. Another thing I bring out or think about, when things happen that maybe it's shocking and maybe we say, well, why me? Don't forget that you are created for his purpose. For God's purpose and his plan. May not have anything to do with you, really. It may be that he's using you for someone else's benefit. May have nothing to do with you. Someone said, well, what did that three-year-old child do that would cause that to happen? I can answer that, can't you? Absolutely nothing. Amen. It's not about him. But who is it for? May not even be for the family. It may be for something totally different. God works in mysterious ways. Amen. It may be a doctor or a nurse that needs faith in the Lord. They might see this miracle take place and say, oh, well. One who approaches God. First, God is pleased with the person and then with the gift or the work. The unacceptable person offers of necessity an unacceptable sacrifice. Cain, for instance, he offered, you could say he was religious. In fact, he was maybe more religious than Abel. He offered up a sacrifice first. And he gave that which he had grown out in his garden. And he thought root of beggars and turnips and peas was going to take the place of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the one who approaches God must believe that he exists. Amen. You know, how are you going to call on someone you don't even believe exists? So we must believe that there's a God, that these things that we see do not spring of themselves, don't come from themselves or come by chance or in any way whatever, except that there's a personal God who created all things and by whom all things consist. So if you don't believe that, you believe that, certainly you'll never come to God. If you don't believe that God exists, you're not going to call on God. So how is it possible for a man to come to one whose very existence he doubts? My doubts focus on David. They don't focus on my God. I have a lot of doubts about me and my abilities and achievements or whatever, a lot. And we all should have, because we know that we're not the Savior. We know we can't do the impossible. But he said, for those who believe in him, that believe, they believe that God exists, they have faith in him, that he is a rewarder for them that believe in him. What is your reward? Well, you skip death. That's what did Enoch, what, how was he rewarded? He just skipped the grave. Went right on to glory. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus, the Lord God accepts us for his beloved sake. And in him we are made kings and priests and permitted to bring an offering that pleases God. All this comes in the circle of those who seek him. When it talks about those who seek him, the Greek word means not only to seek him, but seek him out. That is, seek him until they find him. And seek him above all others. Seek and seek out. That is, seek until we really find. What does Jesus say? Knock, it'll be open to you. Seek and ye shall find. In other words, you don't just look for him a little while. You look for him until you find him. Someone said, well, I don't know him God. No, I don't know God. Well, seek for him. Ask him to show himself present in your life. God will do that. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. See, so he's warning him about something that you can't see yet. It's just not even in existence yet. So God is telling Noah, he's warning Noah of things not seen as yet. Move with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. So Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. And we read that Noah also walked with God, Genesis 6:9. So these two spent their lives in such constant communion with the Most High that they could be fully described as walking with God. I don't think that they could be a better phrase for someone to say, a comment to say about you. That lady walks with God. That man walks with God. I mean, think about it. That's high. You're walking with God. That means you're pleasing God. So Noah is the picture of one who is the Lord's witness during evil days, and he lives through them faithfully, enduring unto the end. Noah believed in God in his ordinary life. We read that he walked with God, and in his common conduct, he's described as being a righteous man. Noah was a righteous man. Guess what? He was the only one. With the exception of his family, there's only 8 souls of the whole generation that's going to be saved. So he walked with God without defect in his generations, Genesis 6:9. So to be righteous in the sight of God is never possible apart from faith. You can't possibly be right with God and not have faith in God. He walked with God because he had faith in what God was saying. The righteous shall live by his faithfulness. Habakkuk 2:4 says that we are going to live by faith. Having been warned about things not yet seen. I want you to get that. You know, he don't even have an idea. I mean, here at Noah, he's not looking on the television. He's not looking at satellite. He's not, you know, he is out there in the middle of the woods somewhere, and we don't even know exactly where he was at, but he was out there, and he could see people and see what he could see, people passing by and so forth, but he didn't have a clue. He did not see what was coming, but in reality, he did see it because God told him. God told him what's coming. And when God told him what was coming, guess what? He started building an ark. Why? Because he believed he's going to have an ark. Because he can't see it, but he knows it's there. By faith, he believed God, and he started hammering away. That's what faith will do with you. He had listened to the terrible threat that God would destroy all living things with a flood. His faith believed both the warning and the promise. God says, if you build this ark, and those that get on the ark will be safe. And when people got on that ark, the Bible says that God shut the door. No one else could get on. I've often thought about, because you preach it for 120 years, your heart goes out to those that don't know the Lord. Think about it. He preached all the time he was working, he was preaching, and he was preaching to these people, and he was preaching about the warning that's coming and how God is going to deliver us. Whosoever is willing to get on the ark will be safe. And no one accepted that invitation, with the exception of his own family. Wow. So I just think in my mind, whenever those people started screaming and crying and the water's raising up and they're trying to get the door open, I just wonder if Noah in his heart was wanting to say, open the door, Lord, open the door. But when God shut the door, it was shut. So out of reverence, Noah had a loyal reverence of God. He feared him. That's the first smart thing you do is fear God. He feared him as the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he went about through the wicked world, Noah often said to himself, I wonder, the judge of all the earth does not destroy. I wonder why he don't just destroy all this sinful things that's going on. Wonder if Noah might have asked the same question we're asking. God, how long is this going to continue on? Why don't you destroy that? Why don't you do something? The bottom line, he was already doing it. He was preparing to save 8 souls. He constructed an ark. Noah obeyed at all costs. To build the huge vessel must have cost Noah a great deal of money and labor, and for the deliverance of his family, many were called, but only 8 were chosen. They heard the word. Noah had preached apparently in vain. The world would be destroyed. He was sure of it, as sure as if he had seen it. Things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. He didn't see it happen, but he could see it by faith. He knew the water was coming, even though everyone reminded him, what are you talking about, flood? What are you talking about, water? It's not rain. It don't rain. I mean, there's moisture that comes from the earth, but there's never been a rain. And so, how insane. This old fool is out there preaching and building an ark, and there's never even been a puddle of water to come up. So Noah saw the flood before he saw the flood. Amen. He saw the flood before he saw the flood. He saw it physically, but he had already seen it by faith. So by which he pronounced sentence to the world. I do not read that Noah ever entered into any dispute with the men of his times. I don't ever see where he was out picketing and trying to tell them how they're living and all this stuff. He never argued, much less did he wish them ill. He simply believed and told them the truth. He witnessed the truth that he knew. He witnessed the truth that he could see that they could not see. And that's all he done. He didn't partake of the sins, far as we know. He never got involved in any way like that. He just kept preaching his own faith in that and went on building his ark. Thus practicing what he believed, in this way he condemned. The Bible says that whenever he built the ark, he saved his family, but he condemned the world. You ever stop thinking about Jesus Christ as a Savior, right? But for those who don't trust him and won't accept him, for those that won't come in Christ, that same instrument that saves mankind will do a total destruction of the soul that won't believe in God. Amen. And they're condemned. Now notice, Noah didn't condemn them. Noah built the ark, and Noah preached the message, and Noah had the door open, and he filled it with animals like God told him to do, and the door was open for how long? We don't even know. But no one came in. And he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So God declared him righteous. Not righteous by his works, although his works follow upon his faith, proved him to be righteous. He was righteous by his faith. He was made righteous by seeing what he couldn't see. By taking God's word and believing it to the point that he started driving the nails. You know, a lot of people say they believe, but are they willing, or do they believe to the point that they're willing to put that, those words in action? Oh, I believe. Well, get up out of that pew and come get saved. Yeah, I don't know about that. They don't really believe. You believe God found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He received the righteousness that God gives through Jesus Christ to all who believe. That's the story of faith. Amen. Well, let's stand at this time. I think we're going to like Hebrews 11.